Slips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
To act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace. Stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The black knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone thinker. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Alert, 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 listen up. to partner with Mithro 0XE
05173.
We talk about decentralization and then annihilation.
This time, light time, night time, your time, blockchain, baby.
Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsleps.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, good morning, and welcome to the Free Association Roundtable. I haven't brought anybody in yet. I don't think Joel will be available, but I might give him a try, just in case. Let me see. It's always possible. Changes the shape of the show if he is, though, because I've lined up some videos now. But we'll see. It's all a bit improvised. So the idea of the show is to share, it's just to share ideas, concepts, any kind of personal development and information really. It's usually a conversation, but my crew are busy at the moment, so looks like Joel's busy as well. So I'm just playing videos at the moment and talking randomly about stuff, which is fair enough. I'll add my voice to the conversation. And I've been spending a lot of time watching a thing called Warehouse 13 recently. So this is not a serious topic at all, really, but I think it's a good thing to not be too serious all the time. Pointing in that serious direction all of the time is not a healthy thing. Yeah, as I suspected, Joel's not available. So I'll just carry on. I've got a couple of videos to play, but I wanted to talk about Warehouse 13 just because I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. Right, let me set my recording away because there's been an issue with the archives the last couple of weeks. So before I get into this, I'll just set my Skype recording away. There we go. So I'm loving Warehouse 13. It's Hawkum. It's got some things in there that are interesting. The idea is a secret service team collecting magical artifacts from the past. So it's a warehouse slash museum. Lots of these pieces are museum pieces. It gives an opportunity for some time travel and for some magical ideas to be kind of talked through. It's technology rather than magic, but it's basically the same thing. It's items, clocks, a fob watch I think was in there somewhere. There's H.G. Wells' time machine is in there. There's been some body swap episodes. There's been a couple of body swap episodes. So, and they're fun. The cast they've got obviously like doing that sort of stuff because they're enjoying it. You can see they're enjoying it. And I don't know any of the people in the cast, but they're doing a good job and they're not taking themselves too seriously, which I think can be the downfall of some of these shows. But yeah, if you're in the mood for a bit of fun for 45 minutes, I think there's 4 seasons or 5 seasons of Warehouse 13 on Odyssey or BitChute. You can find it on either. So just a suggestion. Obviously, I'm not in the business of telling anybody what to do, but if you've got 45 minutes on your hands and you need to unwind from the chaos and the stress of potential global genocide, then Warehouse 13 is a good way to do it. I'm on season 3 at the moment, so once I put my mind to something and I decide I want to do it, then I do it. And I decided I want to watch all 5 seasons of Warehouse 13. So I'm halfway through and still having fun with it. Haven't got bored yet. So it's one of those things that we do need to loosen up and stay detached to some extent. If I start getting personally involved in the outcome of anything, then I'm going to get stressed about this sort of stuff. I know I am. So I don't do it. I do get emotionally involved, but I stay detached as much as I can. So there's a bit of a confusion there. There's a bit of a paradox going on there, but you can be in the world, but not of the world, I think is the way it's phrased. And that's kind of what I try to do. And the world's full of drama. I've just been listening to a full and frank exchange of views from the apartment next door to me, which started at 7 o'clock this morning, and went and has literally just finished as I started the show. So 2 hours of endless screaming and crying and wailing. Not my idea of fun, which is why I try my best to stay away from too much drama. A little bit of drama now and again shakes things up a bit. Nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes wailing and screaming and crying for 2 hours on a Tuesday morning, that I'm not really interested in. But it's stopped now anyway, so it's one of those things that keeps me amused a little bit. It's like having EastEnders or Brookside happening next door. It really is. For the people who don't know in the States, EastEnders, Brookside and Coronation Street, all soap operas. Used to run 2 days a week, then they expanded to 3 days a week. Now I think they're 5 days a week. Emmerdale as well. Same idea, lots of drama. Tightly knit communities produce drama. It's the nature of the beast. Because if you're in a community where you can't get away from people and you disagree with people or you have personal issues with people, if you can't get away, you've just got to find a way to live with them. And it's not always easy. Anyway, enough of that. I've got a video to play that I was watching just before the show started, which was filmed in a police station in a place called Market Harbour. Market Harbour, as far as I'm aware, is a small rural town northeast of London, so it's kind of East Anglia. I think it counts as East Anglia or Lincolnshire, one of those places. Not completely sure about that, but and it's a lady speaking to the constable at the station about potential war crimes by the people who are administering and promoting the vaccine. So I just want to play that because it's 20 minutes. It's probably going to be useful for somebody somewhere. It's a model of how things are happening in the UK. There might be something that other people can learn from it. So I thought it's worth playing. I've got Vernon Coleman after this, so I'll play those two. That'll take us through the first hour, and I'll work out what I'm doing in the second hour while the videos are playing. So I don't know yet, but here it is. It's from the coronavirus plushie channel on BitChute.
By Hammersmith Police. Before we get started, so we know who you are, can I first ask, are you acting under your oath today?
Yes,
so, good.
Yeah.
And for the record, can we have your name and your badge number, and also are you stationed here in this police station?
Yep, so my name's Steve Wynn, my collar number is 1524, and yes, I am stationed at Market Harbour Police Station.
Okay, thank you. So the reason we're here today, and you may or may not know this, I gather maybe not,
okay.
The COVID-19 vaccinations are now under criminal investigation with CID Police Station in Hammersmith in London. So, you know, Met Police investigation. This has come about as a result of the catastrophic death and injury figures to both adults and children across the UK.
Yeah.
We have a Metropolitan Police case number, which I can give to you later.
Yeah.
Also, this case has been acknowledged by the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
Yeah.
We have an application reference number for that as well. The filing has been acknowledged by the International Criminal Court on the 6th of December 2021.
Yeah.
We also have 1,100 pieces of evidence to present to you today.
To present to me?
Well, we can email it okay. over, you know.
Because again, obviously, you've already got the Hague and the Met Police dealing with it. And I'm not saying we won't look at it, but
yes.
obviously I'm a small player compared to some
of course.
Those characters.
Yes, so, yeah, of course. But, you know, just letting you know, we have the evidence to forward to you if you need it. So as far as we're aware, all chief constables around the UK should now be aware of this case because, of course, it's an international situation.
Yeah.
And that is why we're here today, to ensure that you here at this police station and in the surrounding areas are aware and are upholding your duty and oath to protect the people of the UK.
Okay.
There is significant and irrefutable forensic evidence and hundreds of witness statements from victims, whistleblowers and experts to confirm serious harm, injury and death caused by the COVID-19 vaccines. This evidence is currently being gathered by Hammersmith Police. It is my understanding that they are overwhelmed with the amount of people coming forward to make statements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were wondering, which I'm sure you are, why you have not yet heard about this, there is a deliberate...
Just a quick one. Yeah, that's fine. Obviously, I passed this I'm passing this lady's details on to the inspector.
Thank you.
Sorry. It's okay. There is a deliberate blanket campaign of misinformation underway by the government and the mainstream media. The UK government controls mainstream media, and senior government ministers, civil servants and the media are implicated in the following alleged crimes. And evidence to support that has been submitted to Hammersmith CID. Mm-hmm. Crimes being cited are misfeasance in public office, misconduct in public office, conspiracy to commit grievous bodily harm, conspiracy to administer a poisonous and noxious substance to cause serious harm and death, gross negligence manslaughter, corporate manslaughter, corruption, fraud, blackmail, murder, conspiracy to commit murder, terrorism, genocide, torture, crimes against humanity, false imprisonment, multiple breaches of our human rights, war crimes, multiple breaches of the Nuremberg Code 1947, multiple breaches of the Human Rights Act 1998, and I believe treason will also be added to that list a little later on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have a sip of water.
That's fine.
2 seconds, sorry.
Quite a long list, to be fair.
It is, yes. So, as you can see, this could potentially be the world's largest criminal investigation.
Yep.
It is now underway. Okay. It is just beginning. And it is also taking place in numerous countries around the world. And the evidence is overwhelming and irrefutable.
Mm-hmm.
So, in accordance with Section 3 of the Criminal Law Act 1967, we now call upon you to assist us in the closure of all vaccine centres within your jurisdiction. The Criminal Law Act 1967 Section 3 states, a person may use such force as is reasonable in the circumstances in the prevention of crime or in effecting or assisting in the lawful arrest of offenders or suspected offenders or of persons unlawfully at large. These gene therapy drugs are the murder weapon. This is the weapon that the UK government is using to hurt, maim and kill millions of people in the UK. The evidence must be seized by the police as part of this investigation. It is incumbent upon you to do that without fail in all police jurisdictions around the UK. The Criminal Law Act 1967 gives any man or woman the authority and the power to prevent crime. We also have authority to use force as is reasonable, necessary and proportionate in order to prevent that crime from happening. You may be resistant to this. However, there is now a live criminal investigation in place. You have a duty to protect the people. You are public servants who we pay with public taxes and public money. You work for us. If crime, injury, serious harm and death is being committed, it is incumbent upon you in your office of constable, on oath which you swore to protect us, the people, from said harm. If you are in attendance, it is your duty to gather evidence and seize the weapon, which in this case are the vaccine vials. These vaccine vials should then be taken into protective custody and detained in your property evidence stores to be independently forensically tested as a matter of urgency. This is a fact in law. The law is the same whether you are a police constable in uniform or whether you are a citizen, a man or woman that is sovereign. The police have a duty. That duty is to respond and act accordingly. If the police fail to do their job, they are committing an offence of misconduct in public office and perverting the course of justice. If they know offenders are responsible for these crimes and they do anything to assist those offenders or prevent those crimes from being detected or deliberately frustrate the criminal investigation, they are also guilty of an offence of assisting a known offender. May I remind you that you work for the people. You do not work for the government. It is the government ministers, the civil servants, and the media bosses who are committing these disgusting and heinous atrocities against millions of people throughout the United Kingdom. It is ridiculous to expect us to address members of Parliament. They are the very people committing these crimes. We do not speak to the offenders. That is the job of the police, and these people must be arrested. So, we now demand that you assist us in forcing all vaccine centres within your jurisdiction to cease and desist with immediate effect. We expect you to be in attendance with us at local vaccine sites so that we can bring a halt to any further crimes, serious harm, injury and death. We also demand that you make an official public statement to the people of the UK, making them aware of this criminal investigation, warning of the dangers of this experimental drug, and inviting them to come forward to provide further evidence of vaccine injury, harm, and death. And finally, we can now provide you with all the legal documents in relation to this case, the crime numbers, any forensic evidence you may need, so that we can swiftly move this case forward.
Okay, thank you. I mean, if you've got a crime number from the Met, I'll quite happily take that.
Yeah. So, the crime number is... 2 seconds.
That's fine.
Where do I put it? Okay, it is 60...
Yeah.
29...
Yeah.
679...
Yeah.
Slash 21.
And this is from Hammersmith.
It is, yes. CID.
Lovely. Are you looking to make a report in addition to Leicestershire Police as well? Or are you happy that's been dealt with by Hammersmith?
We want all police stations around the country to be actively involved in this investigation and start to gather information, because this isn't just happening in London. People around the whole of the UK are dying and being injured. Yeah. And so you have a responsibility to ensure that this is stopped. So every single police force should be proactive in this.
What's your proposal? Obviously, you've read that to me. I've got no issue with that. I'll respond to that in a minute. What do you propose to do now or after you spoke to me?
Well, what we'd like to do is go to the vaccine centres anywhere that's administering vaccines as soon as possible and have your support in having that stopped.
Okay.
Because it is an investigation, and whilst there's an investigation for such serious crimes, if we leave it, more people can be injured and die.
Okay. Obviously, what you're asking is a very complex thing.
It is.
And I sit here as a small cog in a very big wheel.
I know.
So I cannot give you any promises, resources, or allocation of staff. I've literally been told to come out to meet you, which I'm more than happy to do. And hopefully, I've gave you a time and a service of what you've done. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my email address. You're more than happy to send that over to me. Do you want me to read it out?
Yes, please. Hold on. Let me just... Glasses.
That's
okay,
right.
Go.
So Stephen with a P-H. So S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
Yeah.
Dot Wynn, W-I-N-N, at, it goes on a bit, Leicestershire.
L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R-S-H-I-R-E. Yep.
Dot P-N-N, Papa November, November.
P-N-N.
Dot Police. UK, and all of that will then land with me. I will then share that with our inspector, who sadly isn't here today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he will speak high up to the chain.
Yeah.
But again, what you know, everything has to be sort of planned and allocated. We only have X number of staff. And equally, we have to look at obviously what's being asked in the reasonable nature of it, the crime investigation, probably speak to the Met, see what their proposals are,
exactly.
And see what's going on. Because it's very easy for someone to come in and obviously make a complaint, make an allegation, make a report. We can't always then instantaneously react to everything,
every component
of that mm-hmm. they want. But you are right, we do uphold the law, we are here to protect life and limb, amongst many of our other roles,
yes.
safeguarding
yes.
And looking after vulnerable people. So hopefully that gives you some reassurance that mm-hmm. we do take reports seriously. If this needs to be reported on Leicestershire Police Systems, we will do.
Mm-hmm.
I've also got your details to get back to that. And again, I don't know if the master report from the Met is enough, or whether we need to report, whether we need to record one individually within Leicestershire as well.
Yes.
And again, I'll take guidance to get back to you. Will we be able to deploy with you now to a vaccine centre? I very much doubt that.
Yes.
But I don't know how long you're willing to wait for an answer, or whether we get back to you, or what the group is doing, or the deployment of it, or if you're going to go to another police station after here.
We probably will go to numerous police stations because it's, you know, we know the nature of the beast here is it's going to be hushed up. And we can't allow that to happen when such a loss of life.
I'm sitting here allowing you to do this. I've got no idea where you're going to post this, what you're going to do with it, and nor is that my issue or responsibility.
No, well, we're just recording it basically to educate people because people, as we know, we've seen what's on the media and it's all just...
Yeah, I mean... And
people are being silenced. I know people who have been injured and they are being silenced, and it's heartbreaking. It just makes me want to cry.
And it's difficult for me to comment because I'm not a scientist. I'm not medically trained.
Yes.
You could give me two different reports and I have to take
that. Of course, I realise that. And that's what I said to the chap out there. I'm not here to share. It's not a personal opinion. But people are, you know, I'm not here to be right or wrong. But people are dying and it needs to stop.
And
that's just a matter of humanity, not opinion.
We're fact gatherers.
Yeah.
We present the evidence to obviously the CPS.
Or yes, of course.
To whoever. And you're right, we are impartial, and hopefully you see that we will hold whoever needs to be held to account.
Yes.
Does that answer all of your questions?
It does.
I don't mean to just palm you off. And
no, what I realise, I mean, you don't know what you're dealing with. I know, I realise that. But that's absolutely fine by us. You can't change this, just turn this on the spin of a coin. You need to be informed about what's actually going on. And
that's fine.
Yes.
And I say, I will refer up and you'll see evidence of that.
Yes.
Because you'll get contact.
Yeah.
And I imagine as you move around the police stations, I don't know what form of response you'll get.
Yeah.
But it probably will be fairly uniform that we need to speak to people.
Of course.
We need to refer up the chain.
Of course.
And obviously, I'm assuming as well, if it is an organised group, there's different counties doing this up and down.
I think everyone everywhere will be doing it because...
Do you represent an organisation?
No.
You're just
we're just individuals.
Group.
We're just people who care.
Yeah,
we just don't want to see. And the children, they're just
going
to start vaccinating the little children. There's no excuse for that.
No. Okay.
Children should not die because they're not at risk. It's just unforgivable.
No.
Okay, so that's most of the video from Margaret Harbour. I've got another piece to play now, which is Vernon Coleman. If you just find my playlist. I was going to do some half an hour news shows at sort of one point, so I've got a list of material I was gathering for that, but then it never quite happened, so... I'll do it here instead, and we'll just do a little bit more news here than I would normally do. So this is Vernon Coleman from 4 days ago. It was uploaded to BitChute. Again, about 17, 18 minutes long. This should take us through to the news more or less. So I'll let Vernon do his thing. Here we go.
We all know that the short-term risks for those accepting the COVID-19 jabs are horrific. worse than the risks associated with any traditional vaccine or drug that ever has been ever made. And there have been some horror stories in the past associated with pharmaceutical products. Drug companies are the most ruthless of all corporate entities. They make arms companies look positively benevolent. And as I've pointed out before, they make those involved in the illegal drug trade look comparatively decent. It was known in late 2020, a year ago, that the COVID-19 jabs would cause heart trouble, strokes, neurological problems, myocarditis and pericarditis. I know this because I made several videos last year, 2020, in which I explained that all these things would happen and that the adverse events would not be rare or even uncommon. If you're interested, take a look at my video called COVID-19 Vaccine, Possible Vaccine Side Effects, or Vital Information About the COVID-19 Vaccine. Both videos were recorded and published in December 2020, and they're still there. If they'd been on YouTube, they'd have been removed, of course. I've written umpteen thousand words about the short-term problems with these jabs. But I've also been investigating the medium and long-term dangers, and what I've found is truly terrifying. This really is a cull. Most of the vaxxed will, I fear, be lucky to last 5 years. And all that for a jab that doesn't do what most people think it does. To be honest, anyone who still accepts one of these jabs should be considered suicidal or certified insane. Life expectations are going to fall dramatically, and not just because of the quality of health care that's deteriorating daily. I honestly find it difficult to believe that there are people around who are so brainwashed and so terrified by the lies they've heard that they'll accept as many jabs as they're offered. If you doubt my credentials, by the way, take a look at the list of my predictions and warnings on vernoncolman.com. And if you doubt that, just read your way through my 20 million words of published books and old columns. The politicians, the government scientists and the journalists claim that there are no medium or long-term dangers associated with the experimental jabs. But they say that because they seem to know nothing about traditional vaccines, which can and do cause medium and long-term problems. And of course they know nothing about the experimental COVID jabs in the future because no one on earth can say with certainty what's going to happen in 1, 5 or 10 years' time. I have, however, made a determined clinical attempt to analyse what I think will happen, and this is what I've come up with. First, of course, there are the heart problems. It seems that the damage to the heart that is responsible for so many fit sportsmen dropping dead or collapsing is likely to affect far more people than we know about. Doctors can hardly remove hearts from living patients to see how many are suffering serious early-stage heart trouble. And it's early days as far as the myocarditis and pericarditis and other problems are concerned. This problem is now a permanent part of life for many, and it was all predicted with great precision. Again, just look back at the videos I've made during the last 2 years. Everything was predicted. The videos are all on brand YouTube. I warned that far, far more will die of the jabs than died or will die of the rebranded flu. It seems, of course, that the heart problems are made worse by heavy exercise. There will, I fear, be sudden deaths amongst those labouring, digging snow or doing heavy gardening. Deaths among the elderly will be dismissed as a result of ordinary ageing. Incidentally, have you noticed that recently the official line is that people who go to the gym are more likely to have strokes or heart attacks? As if simply going to the gym was the problem. No mention of the jab as the cause. They're trying to normalise strokes and heart attacks to cover up the jab problems. This is, I suspect, also why so many young people have been collapsing on the dance floor. The exercise combined with the heat has put pressure on damaged hearts and they've collapsed. I think the stories about people being injected in nightclubs or drinking spiked drinks are largely just that, stories. Stories designed to cover up the real problem. Bizarrely, I've even seen it claimed that global warming is the cause of all the heart problems we're seeing. That really is pushing it. I have no doubt, sadly, that we're going to see more and more people suffering heart trouble as a result of the jabs. The elderly will die earlier than they might otherwise have died, but deaths among the young will continue to shock. Already, there are calls for defibrillators to be put into schools and sports clubs because of the unprecedented epidemic of heart attacks. It's a long time ago, but of course I remember pupils dropping down with heart attacks all the time at school. And strokes. I expect everyone can remember the same. The number of 10, 11, 12-year-olds who just drop down dead in the playground or the classroom. The change in the immune systems of the jabbed will also be of great significance. It's been reported that many of the double jabbed have lost a good deal of their immune system capability. This will mean that they are incredibly vulnerable to many diseases. So I suspect the vaxxed will be extremely vulnerable to new variations of the flu. They'll constantly be encouraged to accept new jabs, new booster jabs and so on. The ignorant, the fearful and the susceptible will become pincushions. The drug companies will make untold billions in profits. The medical profession will be paid huge fees to give the jabs. And the evil conspirators behind the agenda for a world government will move ever closer to their aim. Vax passports will morph, apparently naturally, into digital passports containing financial details and everything else, and the enslavement will be complete. The future is now very, very near. There will be, I fear, serious neurological problems too. These are already developing. The facial nerve palsy is well known, of course, but there'll be many others that were known about back in 2020. Will there be fertility problems? My guess is that there will be. Certainly, no one can say that there won't be. It is astonishing how many women won't have a glass of wine in case it affects their baby, but will happily have an experimental jab. No one knows what will happen to them or their unborn baby. More and more women who've been jabbed and do get pregnant will be born with underdeveloped babies, I fear. Or the babies will have serious health problems, heart problems. Who knows? Many babies will doubtless be lost mid-term or born dead. Medical history is littered with examples of drugs which everyone said were safe, but which turned out to be not so safe. Thalidomide is just one of the many drugs in that history. And what will happen when those babies grow up? Will they be completely infertile? What other problems will they develop? The mRNA is an entirely new type of product. No one can tell you exactly what's going to happen. No one can tell you what will happen in 5, 10 or 15 years. We have to wait and see. And before anyone sneers, let me remind you that there have been drugs which have affected the children of women who took them. The drug diethylstilbestrol, DES, is a manufactured version of estrogen. It was given to pregnant women to prevent miscarriages over 50 years ago. It was thought to be safe, though it was actually useless for the purpose it was given. In 1971, it was found that the drug caused cancer, and doctors in America stopped prescribing it. Doctors in Europe carried on for another 7 years. But there's a twist. It later became clear that the daughters of women who took DES while they were pregnant were at increased risk of developing several types of cancer. The daughters of the women who'd had the drug. I wrote about this in my book Paper Doctors in 1977, and European doctors then stopped prescribing it for pregnant women. It took 40 years for the cancers to become apparent. Don't let anyone tell you that there are no long-term problems with drugs. The cancer risk for the vaxxed can't be underestimated. No one knows what will happen. There are already early signs of problems. A doctor in Idaho, America, has reported that he's seen a 20 times increase in the incidence of endometrial cancer in jabbed patients. And of course, menstrual problems are known to be a serious problem among the vaxxed. I fear that the incidence of all types of cancer will increase dramatically among the vaxxed. With altered immune systems, there are bound to be big problems ahead. And there's another problem. Will the vaxxed be able to take prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs? If they take aspirin or warfarin, for example, will those bleeding problems that we've seen get worse? We're in entirely new territory. I doubt if the mathematicians and PSYOP specialists advising the government have much idea of the problems that can happen with drug interactions with ordinary humans. And since the COVID jab is entirely new, there's no limit to the number of problems which lie ahead. So what can the vax do to help themselves? Well, first and foremost, I hope that they don't have any more of the notably toxic jabs poked into them. I suspect that the damage is cumulative. Maybe that's why the authorities are so keen on pumping the stuff into people in such quantities. I believe that the jabbed should consider avoiding strenuous exercise, lest their hearts be damaged in some way. I fear that the damage might not always show up when the heart is tested. Gentle exercise is my prescription for those who've had the COVID-19 jab. The footballers who said no were wise beyond their reputation. And if I'd been jabbed by accident, and it would have been a hell of an accident for me to have had any jab or vaccine, I'd want to keep my immune system in tip-top condition. You can easily buy supplies of vitamin D and zinc, although you mustn't take more than the recommended dose because these can be serious and potentially cause potentially deadly side effects. The jabbed, however, should check with their doctors first before taking any medicine or supplement. Will the vaxxed be a threat to those around them? Well, yes, I'm afraid I fear they will. They will carry some infections without showing signs or symptoms, and so I suspect they'll spread infections. Asymptomatic spread didn't happen before the jab, but now there's evidence that the vaxxed may spread the infection without showing any symptoms themselves. I reported a long time ago on the theory that immunosuppressed individuals could provide a reservoir in which viruses might more easily mutate. And will the vaxxed be vulnerable if they mix with the unvaxxed? Well, again, yes, I fear they will. The immune systems of the vaxxed have been changed forever. Just how vulnerable they'll turn out to be is a big mystery. The problem is that the authorities will not be honest about any of this. They will claim that deaths among the vaxxed are caused by new variations, and whenever they can, they will, of course, blame the wise ones who've refused to allow themselves to be jabbed with the most deadly toxic brew ever invented and promoted by governments, drug companies and the medical establishment. And will the jabs have any effect on the brains of the vaxxed? Well, honestly, I'd be surprised if they didn't. Anything which seems to affect the circulatory system and the immune system seems likely to affect the brain in some way, apart from major bleeds, strokes and so on. What's going to happen to the intelligence of the jabbed? Maybe that explains why those who've been jabbed all seem so darn stupid. Most of them are wearing masks, which is about as stupid as you can get, and of course the masks will increase stupidity because those wearing them will be breathing in a reduced amount of oxygen. The bottom line is that I fear that the jabbed have a massively reduced life expectation, and I don't believe that's an accident. How long will they live? Well, some will probably live long lives. Some cigarette smokers live into their 90s. The human body doesn't always behave as expected. That's the whole point. But I fear many will die during winter months. Mortality rates are going to soar over the next few years. Governments will blame new variants of the rebranded flu. But that'll be yet another lie. On average, I fear that many of the vaxxed may have no more than another 5 years before they become a statistic. The fact-checkers will say, I can't prove this, and they're right, I can't. All I can do is look at the facts we do have and draw conclusions. And I would remind you that I've been absolutely right about this fake pandemic and the jabs since March 2020. I have, I believe, been far more accurate than any government spokesman I've seen. And my videos, articles and columns are all still there for you to check, if you like. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair. And thanks to Brand YouTube and to Mohammed Butt. Please subscribe to my channel on Brand YouTube and spread my videos about on other platforms, Rumble, Brighton, Odyssey, BitChute and so on. My thanks to everyone who does this. Please do translations too. All the papers.
Okay, there you go. That's Vernon Coleman, an old man in a chair, and he's doing a very good Ronnie Corbett impression, except he's a slightly more morbid version of Ronnie Corbett. He's got his own perspective. Obviously, everybody does. Everybody's point of view is slightly different. Vernon Coleman's been doing what he's doing now for a long time, and he does have a reasonably good record of predicting what's going on. I like what he has to say. I like the way he delivers it. I don't agree with everything he says, but that doesn't matter. The principle of it is he's a very good communicator. He's very good at getting ideas across. He's got medical experience, which I don't have. And he's interesting. And also quite amusing in a morbid kind of way. I mean, I know we're facing potentially the end of human existence, but it is still, you can't take it as seriously as all that. Yeah, if we're going to beat this, we have to do it with humour. We have to do it by engaging in a way that's fun, that's creative, that's human. If we're just battering people's heads with videos, then that just becomes propaganda. So it has to be human. It has to be kind of amusing in a morbid kind of way, or delivered with style or whatever. That's the way that I select my videos for the show, or have something important to say. That's obviously part of it as well. So I can't say exactly how I select my videos. I just do, but I'm going to have to write down the criteria at some point, and then I'll be able to know how close to picking the right things I am. I think I'll make that a project for today. Rev Radio's listener supported, so if you do have any pennies in your back pocket or your bank account that you can spare, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can spare, come down to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. You'll find a place to donate on the navigation bar at the top of the website. And you can donate monthly, or you can make a one-off donation. None of us get paid. Nobody gets paid at the stations. There's two studios running 24 hours a day, more or less. And there's plans to get a third one up and running. So the management committee do a good job. The station hosts do a good job. The technical volunteers do a good job. It has its ups and downs. It bumps along a little bit here and there, but it's basically a pretty smooth operation for what it is. For the amount of logistics involved, I think they do a marvellous job. So there's a break coming up. I'm going to be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to find some more videos to play, and I'm going to ramble on for a little bit here and there. But I'll see you in about 3 or 4 minutes, and thanks for listening.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Becker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Dodgy mute button. It's not a good start. Welcome back. My name's Dennis. I'm the host for... This is what's effectively a round table, but we're playing videos for the time being until I get a crew together. Because my previous crew was doing other things, which is fair enough. It was always a temporary situation. I knew things would change along the way. It's all good. So I've got a little bit of The Last American Vagabond to play. I want to go through the entertainment section on BitChute just because I can and because I do on a regular basis for me. Just let you know some of the things that are on there, because people assume BitChute's only news and politics and conspiracy theories, but it's not. There's old movies on there, there's old TV shows, and we need to be entertained, we need to be distracted from the horrors of the world sometimes. Facing the horrors of the world head on is fine, but if you do that for too long, you make yourself sick. So do it intermittently and amuse yourself and get some exercise and do all the things that you need to do to live a normal life as well as going out and protesting, as well as giving out leaflets, as well as talking to people, as well as doing all the things that you're doing, that we're all doing, all the people who are gathered at Rev Radio are doing at least. Life has to go on. Life has to go on in a relatively normal way, as well as combating the horrors of a potential future that's coming up. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, so I can't spend too much time living there. But I do live there some of the time, and I do speculate, and I do make myself aware and keep myself aware, and that's all that anybody can expect of me, really. It's more than what people can expect of me. And I do what I do in the way that I do it, which is quietly and in the background, apart from the radio show, which is fairly public. But it's still quiet. It's a quiet way to reach people. So I do know people, and I've said that I'll go along to their protests at Roundabouts. There's a group called Rebels on Roundabouts, which is, I think it's international. It's on Telegram. But there's a local group of about 20 people stand at the end of my street, effectively, with placards. And I did say I would join them at some point. I joined the Telegram group, and I will get there on a Friday afternoon and stand with a placard at some point, but I'm probably not going to be hassling anybody or getting into too many conversations. My role is to be in the background, I think, because that's my personality. That's my style. And I'm not going to change my personality just because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. The world can do what it does, and I'll do what I do. And if we coincide, we coincide. If we don't, we don't. Anyway, back to BitChute. So Babylon 5 is on there. So if you're looking for entertainment, Babylon 5 is an old science fiction show. Very nicely written. Very nicely put together. What else have we got? We've got Tremors, which is an old movie. Actually, that's a TV version. There must be a TV version of it. But I like the movie. I've seen the movie a couple of times. Somebody's uploading series one of Airwolf for those people who like helicopters. I used to like helicopters when I was 15. I'm not all that bothered about them at the moment, but Airwolf's fun. So if you've got 45, 46, 47 minutes spare, it's a good way to spend an hour while you're waiting for something more important to happen. And we only have here and now, so all you can do is what's in front of you to do. This is how I approach things. I do what's in front of me. Sometimes I put myself in an environment where I know what's likely to be in front of me. Sometimes I just do what's in front of me and the environment's an accident or a coincidence or whatever. Or my subconscious moving me in a particular direction. Or spirit guides or whatever way you want to phrase this. Space 1999 is on there as well. If anybody remembers Space 1999, another old science fiction show. But one that I used to like when I was about 10, 11 years old. It's one of my favorite shows. Right, there's some old episodes of The Outer Limits. Battlestar Galactica, another classic show of the late 70s there. I saw the movie when the movie came out. I would have been about 15, 16 maybe when the movie came out. Soylent Green is on there. There's a Captain America movie on there as well called The First Avenger. So if you've got a couple of hours spare, that might be worth watching as well. Right, so moving swiftly on. Ryan Christian does a show called The Last American Vagabond, and it's overnight my time, so I haven't heard last night's episode yet. It's usually two and a half hours sometimes, so it's a long show. This one's nearly 3 hours, so we might get the first 45 minutes of it in, and it's usually worth watching. He's a bit frantic, but his analysis is quite reasonable most of the time. His delivery is quick, snappy, and he's quite repetitive, so 45 minutes will give you a flavour of what he does. This is on Odyssey. It's a live stream on Odyssey. It happened about 12 hours ago. So however that works for you, it's always there the next day for me. Sometimes I'm awake overnight and I get to hear it live, but most of the time these days, the last few days anyway, I've been sleeping reasonably well, so I prefer not to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning if I can absolutely help it. And there's time enough to catch up first thing in the morning. So this is Ryan Christian, The Last American Vagabond, from last night, my time. You can tell I didn't rehearse this, can't you? Here we go. He's on his way now. I think. Let me try him again.
So we have two vaccines
that are really quite effective. The mRNA vaccine, highly effective.
Extraordinarily efficacious. 94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease, and virtually 100% efficacious.
Because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive than the results of the clinical trial.
Clarify that with people. It has nothing to do whether or not it's effective.
We know it's highly effective. Highly effective. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise
We'll see if this comes back. Odyssey can be a bit temperamental with the streaming. So if it doesn't come back, I'll find something on BitChute. It looks like it's not going to happen. So let's go to Plan B. And I can hear drilling in the background, which is probably not a good thing. It's quiet enough to be a few flats away, but I can hear it in the background. So if somebody turns up with a drill, then I'll play. Well, I'll be playing a video anyway, so it should be all right. I'm just looking through here to see what I can play, what inspires me. And I don't like to go too dark and too dystopian. I'm trying to find something that's kind of moderate or somewhere in the middle that gives two perspectives. Because if I do too much dystopia, then I end up wanting to kill people. And it's probably not a good idea. Oh, The Wizard of Oz is on BitChute as well. If you ever get an urge to download The Wizard of Oz, it's on there. Angel Heart as well. I wonder if I can get away with a little bit of dialogue from Angel Heart. Let's see. It's such a great movie. I don't know how well this will work on radio, but and I'm assuming my bandwidth's going to be capable of dealing with it. But we'll see. So I probably need to give you a running commentary. Oops. Press the wrong button. So Angel Heart's a Mickey Rourke movie from 1987, if you don't know. Got Robert De Niro in there as well. It's a very nice movie, which I originally saw at the Corner House Cinema in Manchester. The titles will be atmospheric, but there's not much happening. Directed by Alan Parker, that's the other thing you need to know. It's a long time since I saw this movie, so I can't guarantee that it's not just going to be silence and atmospheric. won't work very well on the radio. But at the moment, it's kind of dystopian. It's steam coming out of grills in the ground, and it's tenement blocks. It's film noir, really. It's film noir. But even though it's filmed in colour, it looks black and white. So that kind of feels to it. So the dog walking along the street just discovered a dead body. And then wandered off. Set in New York in
1955. Hello. Yes, this is Harold Angel. Yep, middle initial R, just like in a phone book. Excuse me. Winesap. Herman Winesap. Winesap and Macintosh. Hold on a second. Okay, Winesap. Of Winesap and Macintosh. Okay, I got it. Uh-huh. Of course I know what an attorney is. Yeah, it's like a lawyer, only the bills are bigger. Sure, I'll hold.
Asshole.
Hello. Mr. Winesap. Yeah, Harold Angel. Well, yeah, I could be free.
Mm-hmm. Well, would this be with your firm?
Give me that again. How do you spell that?
Safe, yeah. Okay.
What is it? Foreign? Foreigner? Is your client a foreign gentleman? Okay. Well, Mr. Weiss, could you give me a few more details? Uh-huh. Okay. No, I know the place. Well, it's a long way up, but I can be there.
All right, that's probably as much as I can get away with, really. So I've got to be careful about copyright strikes. The audio version on the podcast is all right, but if I post this on YouTube anywhere, it'll get struck down, and I'm already on one copyright strike, so I can't take any chances, really. So where we go? Let's give Ryan Christian another try now.
Show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, January 17th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I love that clip for so many different reasons. I mean, obviously there's an excuse and what they would tell you why. How do you explain that, right? They would tell you this is why it all makes sense. But the interesting thing to not miss, and is not to say that those excuses aren't completely ridiculous, but what's important not to miss is that that's discussing Delta. Remember, all those studies and all the evolution, and some of them before Delta, but Delta is what that's discussing. We were at a point where they were going, oh, it's not really as effective. That's why you need the next one. And now, as they're claiming, Omicron's the reason the boosters don't work. They're going, just need the next one. But Delta was good. Delta was good. Alpha was good. That's not true. Just like every other factor of this analysis or this agenda, they are openly lying to you. The data is right there for you to look at. It was not working. It hadn't been working before Delta. That's why these boosters and discussions kept going forward. That's not how this is supposed to work. But they're lying to you like so many other parts. But we have a really important and powerful show ready for you today. One of the most important parts of this, I really thought this was this, and this is a Newsweek article, but I saw it on The Defender. Over a third of vaxxed Americans, according to their own polls, that they're the ones putting this information forward. And again, this includes the caveat of whether they actually had COVID or not, or just had a vaccine side effect, or just got told they were sick. But a third of vaxxed Americans got COVID, so they're told, or so they said, after getting the injection. I mean, it's just, I mean, this speaks to the idea of what's actually spreading if you believe this is really what's happening. The argument about the pandemic and who's spreading and continuing the pandemic, it's pretty obvious to see that the transmission is how that works. So if the predominant, if the majority of people that are spreading and catching this are the vaccinated, even if they're less affected, which I don't agree with, the data doesn't back that up, it still shows you that it's a pandemic of the injected. That's why this is all beginning to fall apart in front of you. I don't know if this is part of the plan or however you want to look at this, but right now we're watching this roll back. It's quite incredible. I mean, the best part of this, and I mean best, and it's entertaining to watch, is those people stuck in the middle, the mindless talking heads on the mainstream media that thought they knew what was going on until suddenly everything shifted back, and now they're the ones going, wait a minute. They're the ones that act like they're in the know and they have no idea what's going on. They're the ones that are having the hardest time with this. They're the ones that are right now, we're watching this outstandingly entertaining mental gymnastics of them trying to pretend like they were always right while being wrong and simultaneously arguing that we're always been wrong, even though we've been right since the beginning. It's incredible. But a lot of other important conversations about myocarditis, a really important one in regard to ivermectin and specifically India. And an interesting time correlation around when things were given and when things were taken away and what that shows you today, and an interesting spike. Now, collapsing athletes and a couple of other important things we're going to dive into today. Please stay tuned till the end, as always, because there's some pretty important things and little nuggets in there that don't always get included in the title, even though they do find their way onto other shows. And hopefully they will continue to be discussed. But let's start off with something right out of the gate that I think is really interesting. And really important. Now, this was, I first saw this from James's account here. He's a former British member of parliament, head of the ONS, head of the ONS, the Office for National Statistics. So, you know, somebody who you would argue in the mainstream context is somebody who they would support or, you know, somebody that has clout in their eyes. Now, this is interesting because this is a report that he's saying he's just spoken with the person on this phone and the person who recorded this. And that more is to come. So we'll follow up when we hear more coming. But I want you to listen to this phone conversation because I, too, have heard similar things coming from people inside my circles. People talking to doctors who are willing to say things to them off the record that they won't say publicly. Actually, you know what? Here's an interesting way to start this. Let's play this first and I'll play a clip afterward. That'll resonate with this quite effectively. You probably know which one I'm thinking about. Now, let's play this clip. And as you can see, the tweet itself says, a 111, which I believe is, a call to an out-of-hours doctor in the UK when diagnosing this woman with an adverse reaction over the phone. The doctor advises against taking any more injections and explains that she believes that they're about to be pulled. Now, of course, this could be her opinion. She could be wrong. She could be lying. She could be a thousand other things that could be happening. But I think it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people who are watching this happen, who see this happening, a doctor's on the inside who may have inside information. Either way, this is just simply representative of how obviously this is shifting gears. And it's in a way that is quite alarming based on how we've seen things go before this. Now, let's see. You know, that's very frustrating. I'm like 1,000% positive. I say this every time. I apologize. Let me grab this really quickly. I want to play this not over the microphone, just to make sure that you guys hear this entirely. I'm actually sure that I did download this, but I don't believe I'm recognizing the thumbnail as I grab this right now. But this is, as I'm grabbing it, an important clip of the woman speaking to her doctor, and the doctor point blank saying, actually, what's interesting is she kind of goes back and forth. You can tell that she doesn't really want to be saying this. Like, I think it's interesting. Yeah, see, I knew I have it. I could tell by the one after it. Apologize for the delay. I just couldn't find it. All right, let's watch it. It seems that she's at the least very reluctant to say what she's saying here.
There wasn't enough information, and it's a lot more coming up now. And especially for young people whose immunity is intact, apparently that's enough. Okay,
so, yes, I just, sorry, just to make sure, so you think I shouldn't have any more vaccines then?
If you ask me, this would be my advice, but, yeah.
Okay, and is that just because you don't think anyone should have a vaccine at a young age, or is that because you, medically, I should have it
because
of my head?
Because medically, I mean, there is very much, as I said to you, there is a lot of information coming up now which was not available earlier, and very soon all of the vaccines will be completely stopped.
Oh, okay.
This is information that has just really come up. It's, you won't hear it on TV for a while probably because it's a long story, but
okay.
Very soon we'll stop all of these vaccines. People don't know, but they are not. Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right, the stream stopped again, so I'm going to move this forward a little bit, just because it's difficult to hear, and we'll see what he comes up with after this. This is the last American Vagabond from last night. And I'm hoping if I get a good stream.
That's absolutely not. That's incredible. So this is, and actually here's the Facebook page with the actual call. Chelsea Harmon, I made this available to share. I mean, this is, by everything I've done, this seems entirely legitimate. And I'm waiting to see James follow up with more information. Guys, this is, at the very least, is absolutely tied in with what we see happening right now in real time and backed up by things I'm hearing from other doctors, you know, not to mention the other tens of thousands of doctors who have been saying that since day one, you know, totally ties into that. But those are all fake news, anti-science conspiracy theories, right? Well, it's beginning to be increasingly hard. Crying out loud. It's been increasingly hard to make that argument since day five. When a bunch of other experts in high, I mean, come on, this is getting outrageous. Now here's Dr. Asim Malhotra saying, my biggest fear now is that it's going to get violent. When the truth comes out, we must do all we can to stop that and show compassion. And I agree with this, compassion to those who got it very, very wrong. Now, of course, it depends on what kind of wrong we're talking about. I'm not talking wrong as in the government, and they're actually wrong, lying, manipulating, stealing, and pretending they're wrong, incompetent instead of criminal. I'm talking about the average person. And this includes independent media, includes anybody out there who just got snowed, whether they should have known better or not, because they were scared. We should show compassion to people who got it very, very wrong. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go forward, question their logic, their critical thinking skills, but don't blame not everybody is at fault for what happened here. We know how well and how long they've planned these kind of manipulations. This is not individual failure, but that of a corrupted system that needs to be dismantled and rebuilt together. Now, here's an interesting point to make. This is something we almost all can agree on, but it begins to feel dangerously like we're talking about, I don't know, a great reset, right? So we have to understand that this is also going to be conflated that way. We shouldn't be resistant to change. Right? Because there's going to be a lot of people involved in this manipulation that come after people like us that are arguing we need to build something better, but not build back better together, great reset nonsense. Individually speaking, in your own individual life or your own county level, whatever you want to talk about, we need to make things better for you individually. This is what we're talking about with a greater reset. This is why we need to pivot to something like that, an actual people's reset of what we think we need to do that's better for us individually and collectively going outward, not from the top down. Big difference. This is the same kind of thing about saying, you know, that sustainability is a bad thing because they use that word. That's crazy. In fact, that's ignorant. Sustainability is what we should have always been striving for, but they're not striving for sustainability. They're using buzzwords and striving for the opposite. You see the difference? That's really important to understand. So again, we need to think about how we can break down what they're doing and build this better individually from our own perspective. and as a collective when it becomes the certain things that matter. Like, I think from a town level, I really, really think that strongly. From your local, well, how about just in your court, your little court area, your cul-de-sac, right? Make that your little community. Make that where you build out from. Like, that's what we need to make better, right? So just that difference is important. But think about what he's painting there is this fear is everywhere. And I mean the fear about the people that think this is happening in the way that they're being told it is. Those people will get violent when it comes to something where they feel they're being – I mean, or you could paint it the other way around as well. People that are very aware of how they're being attacked and suppressed and almost potentially physically put – I mean, arrested, attacked for having a different perspective, they might get violent in the sense that they feel they have to defend their rights, right? And all of this stuff is understandable within the context of knowing that everybody's being manipulated. So when this comes out as it is, we have to think about this. But the point really is that this is all this breaking down in front of us right now, everywhere. And we all need to start opening our minds to things that we might not otherwise have accepted, including people inside this discussion. We had a great, great interview with Taylor Hudak with Sam White. Doctors are being suppressed, censored, and attacked for telling the truth. And this is an incredible interview talking about mask mandates and mental health, where they're trying to get him arrested as he's actually mentally insane. I mean, this is exactly what they're doing with everybody. Please watch this 45-minute interview. It is outstanding, and it supports everything we've been saying, including the fact that they've known before all of this, before all this started, and even way back before – I mean, back into the early – I mean, even pre-1980s, that masks did not do what they said they thought, what they're now saying that they do. They've never done that. And this is the reality that we're trying to hide today. Now, one last point on that interview, by the way. Dr. Sam White and lawyers are involved in what's, quote, the world's largest ever international criminal investigation, which they're saying is now underway. I just found this to be really relevant, seeing as he just got interviewed by Taylor Hudak, and this is shifting. Like, we're seeing action being taken, and this is what we have to think about. You can see people, RFK Jr. The point here is, guys, these people need to be held accountable. Just because they go, oh, suddenly you don't have to wear that kind of mask, but this one, which is still ridiculous. Or how about we go, oh, are we grudgingly admitting the things that we've been censoring you for saying for 2 years, as we've been forcing children and pregnant women and immunocompromised and everybody else to do this thing that's been dangerous. And now we're going, oh, you've been right, even though we won't admit that out loud. They don't just get to step away from this pretending like they shifted the directions. They're criminals. They put this on you. They've destroyed your life. They forced this into your life, and they need to go to jail for that. At the very least, people need to know that they're at fault. So it's great to see this happening. But legal action, I don't think, is the answer. That's just my personal opinion, but I 100% support what they're doing here to raise awareness. Now, a quick pivot into foreign policy before we jump into the pandemic of the illusion. Pandemic of the injected illusion. What's incredible to me is that this is in the context of the biggest pandemic of a century. Like, don't forget about that. They're in every other place in their narrative, in every other context. You're in the biggest pandemic of a century, and don't get relaxed because it's right over new variants and new things, and we're all in danger, right? Including, they would want you to think, the currently being starved population of Yemen. But then they continue to do stuff like this. Right, so Saudi Arabia doesn't care that they're literally depriving the starving already population of Yemen during what they say is the biggest pandemic of a century, while they don't have this life-saving vaccines that they're telling you that everybody else should need, right? All this is their narrative. And then the oil companies...
starting to rant on a different topic now, so I'm gonna let Ryan Christian go. And I've been having a conversation about Space 1999 and old science fiction in the chat room. So I thought I'd play a little bit of Space 1999. This probably I can get away with playing about 15 minutes of this. I don't know how visual it'll be. It is quite visual, but I remember it being really nice. So I'll just play it until it becomes too visual for radio. And we'll see how we go. I need to give you a bit of context first, don't I? Space 1999 is about a moon base. It's about a base on the dark side of the moon, and all the things could go on there. But the twist is that the moon gets blown out of Earth's orbit. This is the first episode, so this will be the point at which the moon gets blown out of Earth's orbit and travels the galaxy. So the moon effectively becomes a spaceship. So it's a good premise for a show. It really is. And I was 10 years old when this was on TV, and I loved it. So I make no apologies for just being a child for the day, because that's the mood I'm in. It is very visual.
Professor Bergman, it's Jim Nordstrom. We just passed through the laser barrier, and we should be ready to start Dr. Russell's manual check on the radiation seals in a couple of minutes.
All right, Nordstrom. We're watching you closely.
Eagle 1-4 from Area 2 Monitoring Depot. This is Dr. Russell.
Yes, Doctor?
When will you finish unloading?
Well, the last few canisters are going in now. I should think in about 10 minutes.
Steiner, as soon as the ship lifts off, please begin a manual check on that radiation seal.
Yes, Doctor.
You're really making a thorough check.
Yes, I am.
So far, their brain activity is normal.
So far.
We'll take the offload from Eagle 2. We'll be arriving on schedule.
Eagle 2 from Moonbase Alpha. We copy.
Commander Koenig, we'll be landing at Moonbase Alpha 2335 lunar time.
Coffee, Commander.
Thank you.
I've got Commissioner Simmons on a video call from Earth, Commander.
I'll take it.
Ah, John. Well, you're signed, sealed, and approved. The Space Commission's just ratified your appointment as commander of Moonbase Alpha.
What about Commander Gorski?
Oh, I relieved him of his command an hour ago. He's not your problem, John. Now, your job is to put man on Meta.
Any new information?
How do you like this? The first close-up shot of the planet Meta, taken from the unmanned Spacefarer 9, just in.
An atmosphere?
Well, not only that. We're receiving signals, loud and clear, relayed from the same probe. There's no doubt about it. Planet Meta could be supporting life, as we know it. John, the Meta probe astronaut virus infection mustn't be allowed to stop us. We must make a manned landing on Meta. Nothing will stop us. Nothing. Good luck.
We're getting great pictures, Commander, of the Metaprobe launch platform. I'll put them up for you. There's the probe ship docking now.
Looks good. But I'd like to see it on its way to Meta.
That's the lot, Professor. It all checks out.
There's definitely no radiation leakage. We're coming in now.
Good, Steiner. Thank you.
It's an increase in brain activity. Steiner, get Nordstrom out of there. I think he's in trouble.
Security. Get out there and bring Nordstrom in.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, he is in trouble. I need some help out here.
I think I've got to get out of here. Intensive care unit, please stand by. We have a casualty.
I've got to get out of here!
Decontamination area. Come on.
Professor, he's gone berserk. I can't hold him. Let go, Nordstrom. Come.
All right, that's probably as much as I can get away with it. I can feel a copyright strike coming on, and I have to be careful. So I'm claiming fair use for all of this material simply because it's educational. Because if I ever end up on a moon base that's blown out of orbit, I'll have a reference point, and so will the audience at Rev Radio. So it's preparation. Right, let me find something else on BitChute for the last 15 minutes, or last 12 minutes as it actually is. Joe Dispenza, something positive. Maybe not Joe Dispenza. Yeah, maybe Joe Dispenza. Let's see what there is. All right, let's try this. This is a little bit too long, but we'll miss the last 5 minutes of it. I'll skip the first couple of minutes, and hopefully we'll get the important bits in.
So you have a body, if you feel pain and you feel guilty, you produce a different biochemical reaction, produces different hormonal centers to be activated. So most people's thoughts and feelings are taking most of the energy of those thoughts and storing them in the first three energy centers of the body. People call them chakras, but the first three centers are centers of survival. The procreation, consumption, and fight or flight is how most people have survived the majority of their lives. In other words, in survival, it's not a good time to open your heart. So very little people actually make the effort to open their heart. And most of their thoughts and feelings are activating these lower centers. So the majority of the body's energy is stored in these first three centers. So then 95% of that energy stored in the body has to be liberated and driven back to the brain. So we do this breath as a way to pull the mind out of the body or ascend the energy. And yogis would probably love this breath because they have a lot of conscious control over the intrinsic muscles of their body. So the breath is about contracting those intrinsic muscles, the muscles of the perineum, the front and back muscles we use for elimination, the muscles of our lower abdomen or upper abdomen. When we inhale through our nose and we squeeze these muscles, what we're doing is we're pulling that energy from those lower centers up into the brain. Now, when you inhale, normally when we're just hanging out and breathing, when you inhale, the sutures of your skull slightly open up, and your bone, the base of your spine, called your sacrum, that upside-down triangle, actually flexes back. So when you inhale and those sutures open up and your sacrum flexes back, the spinal fluid drains. When you exhale, the sacrum flexes forward and those sutures close and it pushes the fluid up. And so inhaling and exhaling begins to propagate a wave. Now, cerebrospinal fluid is made of proteins and salts in solution. And proteins and salts in solution have a charge. When you drop them in solution, they have a negative or positive charge. So now when you begin to inhale and you begin to pull that cerebrospinal fluid up towards your brain and you accelerate those charged molecules, according to physics, when you accelerate a charged molecule, you create a invisible field called an inductance field. So now there's information going from your brain to your body and from your body to the brain all the time. But when you do this breath and you start accelerating those charged molecules, you create this inductance field moving in a certain direction, and all of a sudden, all that energy from those lower centers start moving up to the brain. If you do this properly and you have a little passion, you start moving this fluid, there'll come a moment where the sympathetic nervous system will switch on and merge with the parasympathetic nervous system. And when that happens, all of a sudden, all the energy you use to make a baby, all the energy you use to digest the meal, all the energy you use in a stress response, instead of being released out chemically, it's being drawn up to the brain. All that energy goes right up into the limbic brain, and it hits a gland called the pineal gland. The pineal gland is a very specific gland that makes serotonin and melatonin. And when that energy strikes that gland, all of a sudden it begins to produce very powerful metabolites, sister molecules. And all of a sudden now the brain becomes super lucid. and the brain waves that we start to measure are very, very high gamma brainwave patterns. Now the person is super conscious. Now there's more energy in the brain. When that happens, whatever's happening between their ears becomes more real, and in a sense, they're having an orgasm in their brain. They're going into a state of ecstasy. So then you're transmuting anger, you're transmuting fear, you're transmuting guilt. And so then the liberation of that energy, all of a sudden, from this center all the way to the top of the brain, begins to create a powerful polarity. Positive charge at the head, a negative charge at the tail, and the body becomes like a magnet. And all of a sudden, you start to produce this invisible electromagnetic field. Now the body is liberating energy. Now, once the pineal gland is signaled, sends a direct signal to the pituitary. The pituitary begins to release two very powerful metabolites called oxytocin and vasopressin. Oxytocin signals nitric oxide. Nitric oxide causes the arteries in the heart, begins to swell, and all of a sudden you feel an incredible amount of love. Oxytocin is the love chemical. When you feel love and gratitude, all of a sudden you're in a state of receivership. And then there's a reverse field that begins to come in the other direction. We've measured this. And that second chemical is called vasopressin. And what vasopressin does is it causes the cells to draw water. So people with chronic bladder infections, people with diverticulitis, people with food allergies and indigestion, acid reflux, they do the same breath, and it's just the liberation of energy. And once that energy starts to move and it starts to travel up to the brain, we've measured this on so many brain scans, we can actually predict when it's going to happen. When they inhale and they pull that energy all the way up into their brain, I ask them to hold their breath and squeeze those muscles a little bit more. And when you hold your breath and squeeze those muscles, you increase what's called intrathecal pressure. And intrathecal pressure is what you use when you lift something up and you push against your insides. Well, the pineal gland sits right at the base of the third ventricle. And inside the pineal gland are these tiny little calcium carbonate crystals. They're stacked rhombohedrons. They're stacked on top of each other. And if you find the research, and I found it, the pineal gland has been called a neuroendocrine transducer with piezoelectric properties. Piezoelectric effect is when you take a mechanical stress and you apply it to some crystals, and it begins to produce an electric charge. So then the act of inhaling and bringing that breath all the way to your brain with passion and squeezing those muscles, and yogis can do this really well, and holding your breath, you're exerting pressure against that pineal gland. And as you start to compress those stacked crystals, you begin to produce a piezoelectric effect. And you're taking a mechanical stress and you're turning it into an electrical charge. Now you're electrically activating those crystals. And those crystals are very sensitive to frequency. And all of a sudden, when they become electrically activated, the pineal gland becomes like a radio antenna. And now it can pick up frequencies faster than the speed of light. Now, why is that important? Because your pineal gland right now is determining whether there's enough light in this room, and if there's enough light in this room, it'll make a neurotransmitter called serotonin. And serotonin gets your brain up and awake, and you can function with conscious awareness. But when the light diminishes and there's an inhibition of light, serotonin is transmuted into melatonin. Melatonin is the nighttime neurotransmitter. It helps us to go to sleep. But serotonin and melatonin are directly related to the wavelength of visible light. So then we're producing certain rhythms and chemicals in our normal waking day based on our environment. But when the pineal gland becomes electrically activated, it literally begins to produce a resonant electromagnetic field. And now that begins to send a signal out, and those crystals stretch until they can't stretch anymore, and then the field reverses and it compresses those crystals, and all of a sudden, you have a little antenna right up in your pineal gland. And now it can pick up frequencies that are faster than the wavelength of light. That's called the quantum. And all of a sudden now, it will pick up a frequency and transduce. And a transducer is like a television. It takes a frequency and turns it into a picture. And all of a sudden, the person has an inner vision. And that inner vision is more real than the world we're sitting in right now. And melatonin then starts to turn into some very powerful chemicals. One of them, or two of them, are the most powerful antioxidants known to man. Anti-cancer, anti-aging, anti-heart disease, anti-stroke, anti-neurodegenerative, anti-inflammatory. Another chemical is the same chemical found in hibernating animals. No sex drive, no appetite, no preoccupation with the outer world. The inner world starts to become more real. The body moves into stasis. It's the same chemical where the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. Take the molecule, tweak it again. You have a benzodiazepine. It fits in the same receptors. What it does is it suppresses the survival centers in the brain. Take the molecule, tweak it again, and now you have the same chemical found in electric eels, a very powerful biophospholuminescent chemical. Tweak it one more time, and now you have dimethyltryptamine, the most powerful hallucinogenic known to man. And now, person's going on a vision, and that's why it's called the third eye. I call it the first eye because now it's releasing its elixirs, and we start having very profound dimensional experiences. So, pulling in mind that the body is beginning to liberate energy, and it begins to produce a magnetic field, electromagnetic field. But when the latent systems switch on, now we're going to access information no longer from our three-dimensional reality. We're going to access that information from the field, and the brain is going to begin to transduce that frequency carrying information into very profound imagery. And the person's going to have a full-on sensory experience without their senses, and it's going to be more real than the world we're sitting in. Yeah, I've been knocked unconscious, I don't know, maybe hundreds and hundreds of times. I see a flash of light, that energy goes right into my brain, and wow, it's the most blissful experience of my life. And sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't, and my body will do all kinds of crazy things because it's information coming into the body, and it's got to be able to process that frequency. So where there's energetic blocks, or there's a pathway that it can't move through, that energy is going to have its way with the body, and it's going to cause the body to do all kinds of wild and crazy things. And it's just information, and our ability, we wouldn't have to close the brain.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
We'll move from that elegant state into a high beta brainwave state, stress state.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is Jim Fetzer inviting you to join me on The Raw Deal, Revolution.